Welcome to BlizzCast 17. I'm Rob Simpson. This episode of BlizzCast is going to be focusing on Diablo 3. We're going to be talking about item, quest, and sound design. So let's get to it. And now we're here with Jason Bender, a senior designer on Diablo 3. Jason, how about you tell us a little bit about what you do?
I work on a variety of game systems, including treasure, itemization, monsters, affixes, a little bit of classwork. I get to touch a little bit of everything.
Let's talk a little bit about randomization. That's something that really kept D2 interesting for everybody for years and years. So what are some things that are going to be randomized in Diablo 3?
There's randomization all over the place. Obviously, we have equipment that's randomized. You never know what affixes you're going to get on an axe, so you might get plus cold and magic find, or you might get gold find and resistance to magic. So the items are hugely varied in the randomization. Also, you never know where you're gonna get it. You can get a legendary item out of a treasure chest by killing a tiny little demon, by killing a zombie, by killing a boss. So treasure can come from anywhere. The other kinds of randomization that people tend to think of is dungeon randomization. Mm-hmm. So we've built a number of ways that the dungeons can combine, and every time you go in, it will be different. But we've also managed that such that if you find a dungeon or like a cave, for example, in the wilderness, that cave may or may not be there, first of all. But if you happen to find it, you can go in and explore. If you go all the way to the bottom, there will be some sort of reward waiting for you at the bottom. But every time you find a cavern, it's going to be different.
That's awesome. So it pretty much gives you an unlimited amount of replayability.
Yeah, and on top of that, we also put in little events. So we wanted to make sure that we play through the story rather than just telling it to you, so you don't have to sit through too much dialogue. And that means that you can come across little events out in the wilderness or in the bottom of these caves. Like, for example, the guy hiding under a pile of corpses because there are zombies around and he wants to pretend he's dead. And you might come across this guy and he'll give you a little mini quest. But he won't always be there and he won't always be in the same place. So we've done a lot of work on creating a variety of interesting events to come across.
So if I play through D3 one time, it's not entirely guaranteed that I'll encounter all of these through one playthrough, correct?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you almost assuredly will not. We've built a lot more than we have space, so every time you play, it kind of rolls the dice and picks a different set. So when you combine all of the itemization, all of the dungeons, and all of the events, a lot of things can happen.
All right, so once we make it through Diablo 3 for the first time, what else is there?
So at that point, you can move on to Nightmare difficulty. We have difficulties like we did in Diablo 2, Nightmare Hell and so on. And then that allows us to not just make the game harder. We introduce new affixes for champions and rare monsters, so you'll run into monsters that are doing things you haven't even seen before. We also have new items as you advance, more powerful affixes, but we actually did art for the armor sets all the way through all of the difficulties. So you'll start finding armor that you've never even seen before.
Okay.
It'll have better stats, a new name, and it'll look cool for everybody because we've done custom armor for male, female, every class.
Right.
So there's a ton of content to explore after your first playthrough.
So now you said there's a lot of variety with the items that are available, and you lightly touched on creatures as well.
Yeah, so as you advance through, not only are you finding new armor that you haven't seen before, and you'll also find new legendary weapons and things like that, sets, but you'll find that the champions and rares, the special powers they get, we found that a couple of them were a little too punishing for normal difficulty, so we're keeping those for a little bit later. So if you want a better challenge, Nightmare and Hell, you'll have some stuff going on with those monsters that is pretty tricky to deal with.
Wow, that's really awesome. Well, Jason, thank you so much for coming down and talking to us a little bit more about Diablo 3.
Thank you.
Now we're here with Chris Giampa, a senior sound designer on the Diablo 3 team. Chris, can you go briefly into what you do here and what your role is on the Diablo 3 team?
Yes, I'm currently primarily focused on the sound design and implementation of the hero classes of the Demon Hunter and Wizard, along with countless monsters and bosses within the game.
So in the creation of all of these sounds, you see a lot of concepts and monster ideas and creature development. Mm-hmm. How do you decide what kind of sounds get applied to these different kinds of creatures?
Well, I usually start off by looking at the design docs for the creatures and kind of read about their backstory. At that point, I will then look at the pre-viz art that the artists have made up. And that'll kind of help me get into the right area of where I need to go with the creature. I'll then go and start designing all my sounds in my sound tool. And then I will quickly get it over into the game as soon as possible, because that will also dictate my sound design to where if things are too short or too long, then I can quickly go back and change them again, put them back in the game. And I bounce back and forth a lot that way, just kind of tweaking things, going back and designing a little more, throwing more in and back and forth.
Now, in the sound designs for these creatures, how do you get the core voice for them?
The type of creature kind of also dictates which area I'll go into. Will it be more humanistic or will it be more animalistic? Sometimes if it's more humanistic, well, basically what we'll do is we'll bring in top voiceover talent, and we'll record them with basically a condenser mic and a high-frequency mic. And the high-frequency mic has an extended response in there, so when we pitch that way down, you really retain a lot of the presence from these actors. And a lot of the times, we'll also design straight animalistic type voices from sound libraries or stuff we'll go out and record as well.
So now that we know a little bit more about the actual voices that the creatures make, how do you go about deciding how they're going to actually sound when they're moving around or when they explode or things like that, when bones break?
Yeah, the skeletons. We spent a lot of time in the Foley booth recording different wooden objects, and I went out and bought some wooden rollers and chopsticks and toothpicks and even a bamboo placemat. And I spent a couple hours in the Foley studio just kind of knocking them around and throwing them and making sure they had different impacts and rolls and stuff like that. We have a lot of swords and knives sitting around in our Foley booth because we are Blizzard. So I took one of those and started stabbing the bamboo placemat, and that's kind of what you'll be hearing when the initial snap break of a skeleton when they burst into pieces. So it sounds extremely gratifying when you walk in there with like a barbarian and just start pounding on them and they burst into pieces. And if you listen closely, you can actually hear a skull roll away, and you'll notice the skulls kind of.
Right.
And so we make very specific sounds for specific things on that.
After hearing all this, I'm sure the players can't wait to get their hands on it. And Chris, thank you so much for coming down. Players already knew how good the game would look, but now they know just exactly how epic it's going to sound.
No problem. We can't wait for you guys to hear it.
Now we're here with Kevin Martins, lead content designer for Diablo III. So Kevin, how about you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Well, the lead content designer's job is I'm in charge of all the writing, the levels, the monster distribution, the treasure, etc. So, you know, I make fun and awesome areas for people to explore.
Okay, now speaking of areas, there's a plethora of locations and environments for the players to work through. What can players expect coming into Diablo III?
There's a lot of stuff we haven't shown yet. Just to touch on a couple of them, we have the Festering Woods, which is an area that's haunted by its past. A long time ago, the Nephilim, the proto-humans of the world of Sanctuary, lived and fought there. And at a certain point, some of them were corrupted and became mongrels. And the ghosts of these two groups fight over and over again. The player has to venture in here in the midst of this ancient battle being replayed over, and find Nephilim artifacts to take back and gain access to a temple.
So we're going to get to see a whole lot of these environments, and the story about the environments is going to be told to us through the quests in the game.
So questing's come a long way since the days of Diablo II. First, there's a lot more quest information than there ever was before. It's all told in a much simpler way, in a more direct way, in a more ambient storytelling ways. You have characters like your followers and the player who chat back and forth as they go through the world and they explore some of the information there. In many cases, the quest NPCs will come along with your player so that they can discuss some of the elements you need to know to accomplish the quest while you're walking and fighting and traveling, as opposed to, you know, waiting through a quest conversation. In addition to that, we have lore books, which are these ambient storytelling mechanisms. You can pick up a book and learn a lot of ambient optional lore about the areas you're in, the monsters you're fighting. We've taken a lot of steps in the direction of greater questing and made it all simpler and shorter to take in.
Now, if I'm going to go back and play with my friends, say I've already advanced a little further than them, how is that addressed in Diablo III?
So everything syncs up automatically. Our goal with co-op is to make it super dynamic and very easy to play with your friends no matter where they are in the game. So if you join your friend's game, you'll have the exact same quest state that he has. You know, if an item's been picked up, it'll already be picked up for you. If it hasn't yet, you'll have it there. It's easier to find your friends. It's easier to jump to them. It doesn't matter what your level is. You can still join friends at higher levels. So there's really no limits to playing in co-op. It's very dynamic. You'll instantly join and you can instantly drop, and it'll not affect their game or your own.
That's really great to hear. The less barriers we have to play with our friends, the better, obviously.
Absolutely.
So in maintaining that really immersive quest experience, it's very important for players to have fully voiced characters, and that's going to be no different in Diablo III?
Yeah, we have 10 player characters. There's 5 classes, both male and female genders. A lot of different NPCs and incidental characters as well. All of them are fully voiced over. There's over 15,000 lines of dialogue in the game. And it's also going to be fully voiceovered in all the other languages that we're releasing the game in as well.
That's great. The fully voiced characters, I'm sure, will add a ton to the experience.
It helps replay as well.
Yeah.
You know, you play with another character, and every player character class has a different sort of perception of the events and has different commentary on it. Every class has a different reason for being there. They're all on the same quest, but they all have their own motivations, and that comes out a lot in what they talk about.
Very cool. And so last but certainly not least, how are we going to get to the Secret Cal level?
Well, it turns out that there's a real tragedy in that tale. During the events of Diablo II, there was a brave and noble Cal King, and he was slain by just evil heroes. I don't know why they would have done such a horrible thing.
He was such a nice guy.
But perhaps he lies restless in his grave. Who knows? Or, you know, maybe there's just no interest in having anything like a Cal level in the game, and maybe we'll cut it due to lack of interest. Who knows?
All right, Kevin, well, thank you so much for coming down. We'll have to find that Cal level for ourselves.
All right, happy to be here.
Thanks for joining us for BlizzCast 17, and a special thank you to all of our guests. We'll see you in Sanctuary.